believe that you were born to do something amazing. I believe you have an incredible gift to share and that there are people waiting for you right now.
What is your what? What is chosen you? What is your what in all the things that you do? It's time to let go. Just spread your wings and let be. Because it's time to be free, 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 free.
Alrighty, welcome to another edition here of What Is Your What Wednesday on Reinvention Radio. You love that song, don't you, Mary?
I do.
I love when you do.
I want to see if Chris Carter will write me a song.
I know, right? That would be awesome. Actually, we got to play that for Chris, see what he thinks of that one. Oh, man. All right, Richie Otey, what's up, baby?
How's it going, Steve? How's it going, Mary?
Hello, Richard.
Hello.
Oh, man. All right, so lots of fun stuff that we've been covering here on What Is Your What Wednesday as we've been talking about the tools and strategies and shortcuts and resources found in the New York Times bestselling book. My New York Times bestselling book, What Is Your What? Discover the one amazing thing you were born to do, which you can grab for free at whatisyourwhat.com/free. All right. So, I tell you, one of the things that really kind of gets my goat, that's an expression, right? People say, get my goat. Is it get my goat?
I've heard it. I've never got it.
Right. What does that mean? Wade might know what that one means. Wade, what does that mean to get someone's goat? Is that, did I say that right? Mary,
you said it right, and I have no idea.
I know. Well, I figured you grew up on the farm. If anybody's going to know what that means, I would think you might know what that means. All right, so one of the things that kind of gets my goat you've heard of, what's that guy's name? Maslow. Yeah. Mm. You've heard of that guy, Abraham Maslow, yeah?
Yes.
Yeah. Si. Uh-huh. So he created something called the hierarchy of needs. And as we're going through the book here, this is on page 60 in the chapter entitled The Pinnacle. As we're talking about living at the pinnacle of your existence. But Maslow talked about the hierarchy of needs. And without cheating, do you guys remember? Do you remember the hierarchy of needs? Do you remember any of the levels of the hierarchy of needs? Any of them? And can you name what there's five?
Yeah,
one, two,
like
three,
food.
There's five. Yeah, there's five of them.
And the most important one is self-actualization at the top.
So self-actualization is at the top. What does that mean to you? What does self-actualization mean to you?
You've been caseyed.
You've been caseyed.
Yes.
Yes. Which means? Uh-huh.
You're living this epic life.
Oh, the septic life. That's you know what? That's funny. So Casey's site is the septic life. Mine will be the septic life. What does that mean, though, to you, self-actualization?
Oh, you've done enough of the things that are just the human aspects. You got your shelter. You got your safety, your relationships. You've mm-hmm. worked your way up, and now you're kind of like you can go into that place where you just get to know you a little bit more. It's kind of hard when you're not knowing how to pay the rent.
Know thyself.
Yeah.
Know thyself.
Yeah.
So let's kind of go through them, right? So there's five levels. It's kind of like a pyramid, depending on the graphic that you see. But it's kind of like a pyramid where on the base level is what they call the physiological needs, if you will. We're talking about breathing and food and water and sex, sleep, homeostasis, and excretion. The next level up is safety, where you're talking about security of body, of employment, of resources, morality, family, health, property. And then you have love and belonging, which, of course, is friendship and family and sexual intimacy. And then you have, esteem, self-esteem, confidence, achievement, respect of others, respect by others, and then self-actualization, morality, creativity, spontaneity, problem-solving, lack of prejudice, acceptance of facts, etc. And what Maslow posited, I've been waiting a long time to use that word. I don't think I've ever used that word here
it's
on the show
word.
At all. Posited. I like that word. It's like it's kind of like a deposit without the d. So you're just positing, which is like on a whole other level of it. Okay, so exactly. So what Maslow posited was that your physiological needs must be satisfied before you can move on to address your safety needs. Your safety needs must be secured before you pursue your love and belonging needs, and so on. And he said that it's only when you fulfill the first four levels of needs that you can pursue self-actualization. Now, I wanted to get your opinion on that. Do you, and as you look at it, do you agree? Do you believe that you have to satisfy your physiological needs before you can satisfy your safety needs? And then your safety needs before you can satisfy your love and belonging needs, and then your esteem, and then self-actualization.
Go ahead, Richard.
I don't.
You don't? Why?
I mean, I definitely believe the first one, right? You stop breathing, you're not going to be doing any of those. Right. So I get the physiological needs.
Yeah.
Like 100%.
Yep.
I think part of why people don't get to self-actualization that often is they're waiting. I think he started with the false premise there, and that you know, you need to have that information before, right? The money, the this, the that. There's all kinds of people that are self-actualized with a lot less money than we have here.
Sure.
But we're a consumer nation that's been kind of selling people that your happiness is out there. You can acquire it someday.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not until you get all those other things and realize it's not there that you go to the self-action. You know what I mean? So it's kind of a self-fulfilling prophecy, I believe.
Yeah.
But I do believe that first one is very important, right? If you're
if you're not breathing, you're not doing anything. I certainly get.
I think that's a given. And also the second one for safety and shelter, et cetera. Those two are fundamental. And
so wait, just so I'm clear, you don't believe, so physiological you agree with, so you say you have to at least be, you know, have that level of the hierarchy in place before you could achieve anything else, including self-actualization.
If you don't have the physiological, you don't have the safety, and maybe you're going through a tough relationship, those three in themselves are a distraction for you to do some self-actualization.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I've experienced. If I'm struggling to pay the bills and I'm under a tremendous amount of stress and other things, and maybe my health is challenged, I'll get back to you on the self-actualization because I need to shore these things up.
Yeah,
right. And I'm not disagreeing with you, by the way.
That's I'm right.
I'm just saying, you never know. Somebody might be chasing the dream out there.
Oh, totally.
And their bills are so high. And they could just shed some of those bills.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
They could shed some of the stuff to get to the self. Again, part of why I said it can be set up in a self-fulfilling prophecy that you can't get to it because you're so busy with all the crap you put in front of it.
Yeah.
Agreed. And then there's somebody who can just put a backpack and walk across America and focus totally on self-actualization.
Yeah. Right. And then maybe find money writing a book about that.
Exactly.
Uh-huh. Those happened. If you look at somebody like a Nelson Mandela or a Che Guevara or somebody like that, I mean, they had a lot of, shall we say, difficulties in at least two or probably three of those different levels. But still, I think one could argue that they may certainly have been self-actualized people, right? I mean, in terms of being able to attain that level of the pyramid. So, you know, I do think that there are examples of people who have meaningfully affected the world and lived their life at what I call the pinnacle of their existence. It's basically where you meet, you know, all of these criteria without having met all five levels of needs as defined by Maslow. So what my thinking here really, and I had a discussion with I think it was a sociology teacher at some point way back when I was pursuing a master's degree. Believe it or not, I have a master's degree. Can you believe
that? No, I didn't know that.
I know. I actually have an MBA. So I do. But I was having this conversation, of course, in front of the class with everybody there, about how we were talking about the hierarchy of needs. And I was saying basically, look, you know, once you achieve that level of self-actualization, wouldn't you say that you kind of self-sabotage all of the other levels? Because, like, people look at you and they go, yeah, I don't want to be around that guy anymore. Like, that guy's self-actualized. Like, so now this whole thing of love and like your self-esteem drops. So you can be really, like, you know, full of yourself, but nobody wants to be around.
Well,
like,
who wants
to hang out with Buddha? You know? I mean, like, really?
I think that's silly.
You think that's silly?
I mean, KC, perfect example. It's a moving target on all five of those for him, and he's still focusing on self-actualization because you don't just achieve it and go, aha, I want it. You're always working at it, always going deeper, always.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So in the book, What Is Your What? What I suggest is that the quality of your life is equally affected by each of the five levels. Now, that said, I can see how if you don't have level one, the, you know, physiological, then everything else kind of is irrelevant. But I do think your life is equally affected by each of the five levels. And Mary, I don't know if you've seen this or not, but I actually redesigned the hierarchy of needs. Have you seen that? Did you ever see that?
No.
So, Richie, did you ever see that? So it's So I actually redesigned here. Wait,
well, look at you. You tried to fit in sex in three categories.
I tried to get sex in the three categories. I figured, you know, look, if we're going to, I can sneak it in.
That's funny.
So on page 62, I talk about what I call the pinnacle, which is sort of that redesign hierarchy of needs, where if you look at it, they all depend on one another, and they all balance
interdependent.
On, they are interdependent. They all balance very, very delicately on that, what we, maybe we can call it the apex or something of that nature, but that's where they all stand and they all balance. So I do think that it's really, really important to understand what is most important to you in each of those five categories, because I don't think that we spend nearly enough time really identifying what it is that we want from a physiological standpoint. I mean, how do we sit? How do we breathe? What food do we eat? You know, what liquids do we consume? From a safety standpoint, you know, what's most important to us from a safety standpoint, from a love and belonging standpoint? You know, are you going to, maybe you're not one of those people that wants to get married, and so you don't subscribe to that notion. And for you, love and belonging is just maybe having, you know, people in different parts of the globe. But bottom line is, we could definitely benefit from spending and investing more time in looking at each of the five levels of the pinnacle or the pyramid or the Maslow's hierarchy, however you want to define it, and really give some conscious thought. And the exercise in the book, What Is Your What?, which, again, you can grab for free at whatisyourwhat.com/free, takes you through that. And you can find that there on pages 60 through whatever on it goes to. So anyway, just some very interesting cool. Food for thought.
Racehorses.
But racehorses, exactly. And
Racehorses would often have a goat put with them to calm them. And if you were a Bill Belichick, you'd go steal their goat.
Yeah, gotcha. We're going to be doing a live reinvention workshop. You can check that out. We're going to be doing it just 15 miles from downtown St. Louis on March 8th. So go to reinventionworkshop.com/live and check that out and join me in St. Louis. It's going to be quite fun there in Fairview Heights, Illinois. Talk to you guys later here on Reinvention Radio. What Is Your What Wednesday?
You just got dismantled. Thanks for listening to Reinvention Radio. For more information about the show and your host, Steve Olsher, visit reinventionradio.com.
You were born to do one amazing thing, but most people spend a lifetime trying to identify what it is. If you're at a job you don't like or are unemployed, if you're in a state of transition or just can't shake that nagging feeling that you were meant and made to do something extraordinary, the Reinvention Workshop is exactly what you need. Led by award-winning self-help author Steve Olsher, the Reinvention Workshop will forever change your life. The Reinvention Workshop takes you step by step through Steve's proven formula that has helped so many get on the right path and be clear about what they were born to do. Take the first step for realizing the life you deserve and desire by visiting TheReinventionWorkshop.com today. No more delays, no more denial. Reconnect with your true self. Learn to live with purpose and conviction and become who you were born to be. The world is waiting for you. What are you waiting for? Log on to TheReinventionWorkshop.com. That's TheReinventionWorkshop.com.